Chapter 16. After the Trial. It was a simple statement, just three words from the mouth of the president, uttered in a blunt, matter-of-fact tone. Yeah, I did. But the words left me in stunned disbelief, and their aftermath proved to be my breaking point, the final painful blow that made me realize I couldn't go on working for the Bush administration indefinitely. I was boarding Air Force One in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the early afternoon of April 6, 2006. The president was sitting in his onboard office, and when he spotted me, he caught my attention and that of Dan Bartlett. We had both just boarded the plane behind him. What was he shouting out? Bush asked us. He was referring to a question that Jeff Morrell, an ABC News correspondent who covered the White House, had yelled out to Bush on the tarmac just a few moments earlier. That morning, the president had made some remarks on our Iraq strategy and participated in a question and answer session with members of Charlotte's World Affairs Council. Meanwhile, back in Washington, the Senate had been making some notable progress on comprehensive immigration reform, and we decided to have the president issue a statement at the airport to applaud the bipartisan efforts. Bush wasn't taking questions that afternoon, but Morrell was eager to get the president's response to the day's major breaking news story about a court filing related to the trial of Scooter Libby by Special Counsel Patrick J. Fitzgerald. Dan had heard Morrell's question, and now he explained it to Bush. Dan stated that he was asking about Libby's grand jury testimony and the leak of the NIE that Fitzgerald just disclosed in legal proceedings. He asserted you authorized the leak of part of the NIE, I added. Yeah, I did, Bush simply replied. The look on his face said he didn't want to discuss the matter any further, nor did I expect him to, since he had already been advised by his personal attorney, Jim Sharp, not to discuss any details related to the Libby trial. I wasn't sure what to say. I was only just learning about Fitzgerald's court filing from the media reports myself. But it was a bombshell that, if true, would add significantly to the damage that the Valerie Plame affair had done to the Bush administration, and to me as its chief spokesman. I was shocked to hear the president casually acknowledge its accuracy, as if discussing something no more important than a baseball score or the latest tidbit of inside the Beltway gossip. The story had its roots back in July 2003, as I was preparing to take over as White House press secretary. At the time, the intertwined controversies over the 16 dubious words in the State of the Union address, including the unreliable claim about uranium from Niger and the leaking of Valerie Plame's name and identity as a CIA agent, were all raging. In the midst of those debates, then National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice had publicly suggested that the October 2002 National Intelligence Estimate, NIE, had offered evidence supporting the notion that Iraq had tried to acquire uranium from Africa, and specifically from Niger. But when she'd been asked whether the NIE could be declassified so that the American people could judge the evidence for themselves, Rice had replied, in keeping with administration policy, that the White House did not want to try to get into a kind of selective declassification, though she added that we were looking into whether parts of it could be shared publicly by declassifying it through formal channels. According to Libby's grand jury testimony, at the very time Rice asserted that the White House opposed selective declassification, President Bush had actually engaged in just such selective declassification himself. He'd authorized the use of parts of the October NIE in the effort to discredit Joe Wilson's attacks on the credibility of the administration, the campaign that had ultimately included the leak of Plame's identity and led to the indictment of Scooter Libby. Now, with those three simple words, yeah, I did, the president was telling me that Libby's testimony on the NIE, which I would soon learn about in greater detail, was accurate, and his and my public statements about the sanctity of classified intelligence rang hollow. Democrats didn't hesitate to pounce on this latest evidence of hiding the truth, at the least, by the Bush administration. Senator Charles Schumer of New York said that if the president had authorized the leaking, then the American people ought to know what distinguishes his leaking information from all the others who leaked information and were condemned by the president. President Bush had often decried the selective leaking of classified information. The previous December, he had publicly condemned the leaking to the New York Times of information about the highly classified warrantless surveillance program that had been authorized in the aftermath of 9/11 to allow the National Security Agency to listen in on international communications involving known or suspected al-Qaeda terrorist. Now, the fact that he himself had authorized the selective leaking of national security information to reporters made him look hypocritical. The president has inherent legal authority to declassify anything he chooses, but Democrats were quick to point out that the secret way he'd done it, as well as the underlying objective, to anonymously discredit a White House critic, smacked of politics. In time, we would learn that the president's penchant for compartmentalization had played an important role in the declassification story. The only person the president had shared the declassification with personally was Vice President Cheney. 2 days after the Fitzgerald disclosure, Cheney's lawyer told reporters that the president had declassified the information and authorized and directed the vice president to get it out, but didn't get into how it would be done. Then the vice president had directed his top aide, Scooter Libby, to supply the information anonymously to reporters. No one else was told about the secret declassification, not Chief of Staff Andy Card, not National Security Advisor Condi Rice. When Rice was publicly rejecting the notion of selective declassification on July 11, 2003, Scooter Libby had already leaked it to Judith Miller on July 8th, at the vice president's direction, with authority from the president. A week later, on July 18th, Condi Rice requested formal declassification of part of the October NIE, including the key judgments section and the paragraphs relating to Iraqi attempts to secure uranium in Africa. This was done through the normal CIA channels the same day, and Tenet personally spoke with Cheney and Rumsfeld that day to let them know it had happened. Even the CIA director did not know the president had already declassified parts of it earlier. And in response to a reporter's question, I announced publicly that it had been officially declassified that day as well. Now, in April 2006, with breaking news of the secret declassification authorized by the president, reporters began to press me on the distinction between this secret action and the formal declassification of July 18, 2003. Of course, what I'd announced on that date, almost 3 years earlier, had been correct. The official declassification had occurred then. As for the president's earlier action, I wasn't permitted to get into any details about that, since we were not commenting on the legal proceedings in the Libby trial. All I could do was point out that there are two ways to declassify information. The president can do it on his own, or it can go through the official declassification process, as had happened on July 18th. It was a clear distinction, though a slightly arcane one. The larger issue of hypocrisy was thornier. About all I could say was that the president would never declassify information if he thought it would compromise national security. It was in the nation's interest to declassify the NIE because of the accusations we'd been fielding of having manipulated or misused intelligence. In the context of the 16 words controversy, I said the president's declassification of information was in the interest of public debate, while the leaks he criticized were ones that could harm national security. This struck many as a distinction without a difference, and the argument fell flat with a skeptical public. The president received plenty of criticism in the press as a result of this revelation, legitimately so. TV news programs played the news that he'd authorized the declassification against videos from 2003 of Bush saying, "There are too many leaks of classified information," and declaring, "If there is a leak out of my administration, I want to know who it is." Questions were also raised about whether the president's action had set in motion the unauthorized disclosure of Valerie Plame's identity. Although we could not comment publicly, we did our best to distance him from this suggestion by pointing to the comments of Libby's lawyer that Bush had only authorized Cheney to get the information out. He hadn't told him how to do it or what kinds of tactics to use. In other words, Bush hadn't explicitly talked about leaking. It was a narrow and ultimately tenuous thread.